Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to yet another rip-roaring episode of The School for Dumb Women, the podcast that sifts through the internet to investigate the things that you're too proud to admit you know nothing about. I'm your host woman, PE dropout who got a note from her mum, Hannah Varrell. With me is science flop, Alexandra Haddo.
I had a one-hit wonder with a Bunsen burner and then it was curtains for me, Hannah. Well, actually no curtains. What I'm trying to say is I burnt down my science classroom.
And lost her virginity in a French lesson, Caroline O'Donoghue.
To my credit, Hannah, it is the most romantic lesson to lose your virginity in.
This week we're investigating why a dog should have replaced Sandra Bullock in Gravity, where continuity announcers go when it gets dark at night, and we've got a very special guest, Daisy Buchanan, on to tell us why two married couples from Sweden changed the world forever. Well, the show must go on!
Hannah, that's Queen.
Yeah, that's not them. Caroline, you look like a fish out of water, or as it's also known, a dog in space. What's happening?
That is how that popular phrase goes, yes.
Yes.
God, I've got no friends in my office. I'm like a dog in space.
Well, it makes sense.
It actually, I mean, yeah, it sort of does. Like, who's a dog going to be mates with in space?
Yeah. Well, why would a dog be in space?
Well, that's the thing. Why would a dog be in space, right? It's so weird. Like, everyone knows that... You know, the Russians sent a dog into space.
Laika.
I've been saying Laika.
Laika, maybe. All I know is it's the one pub quiz answer which nobody ever asks a question for. And I'm like, I know the name of the dog that went to space.
We're close personal friends.
I'm very on brand. I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
I know the monkey in space, but not the dog.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen in, my friend. Okay. I've got quite the tale for you. Well, we've spoken before about the space race. I touched on it in my subject on the moon.
Yeah.
So we all know that after the Second World War, there was a Cold War between Russia and the US, where while nobody was directly attacking one another, there was this incredible fear after the atomic bomb that their nuclear weaponry was advancing and nobody knew who was doing what.
Yeah.
And it was very, very terrifying because like this Pandora's box had been opened. And so the way that they were both channeling all that sort of anger and frustration was the space race. So like, whose technology can advance fastest to send people or things into space and have them survive.
Right.
And that was sort of like, that technical prowess was kind of almost seen as being indicative of how advanced their military technology might be.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like that reverse thing. I was like, oh, well, if their spaceships are this good, then how good are their bombs?
Yeah. Whereas probably they were putting all their money into the spaceships and being like, we'll never have to use the bombs. Like,
yeah, completely. It's a very weird form of reasoning, but it kind of makes sense if you have two governments exclusively run by paranoid men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Completely makes sense. So this brings us to Sputnik.
Okay, Sputnik, I know, was a vessel.
You can say that about literally anything.
This is very Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
What's the, you know, a like, vessel. Was it a rocket?
So Sputnik 1, there's three Sputniks, was a satellite that was sent into space in 1957, so several years before the moon landings.
God, it's a long time ago, isn't
it? It's a long ass time ago, my friend. And so the Russians were the first people to ever have a satellite orbit space. So Sputnik went up into the air, went around space, went around the Earth or whatever. And everyone was like, Jesus, we've done really well here, lads. Like, Russia are on top of things. We're really excelling. And this was in, I think, mid-1957 this happened. And Russians were really high on their own garbage at that point. They were like, we're really good at this. And so the guy who was the leader of the Communist Party at the time, Khrushchev, he was like, do you know what's better than one Sputnik? Dos Sputniks.
Sputnik 2, the rescue.
Yeah, completely. And they were like, okay, so we've proven we can send something into space. What if we could prove that we could send something living into space?
Right.
And the Americans at that point, I think they had already experimented with monkeys, but that wasn't really working out because the monkeys kept having heart attacks in space.
Oh, of course they did.
I know, very stressful. And so 1957 also happened to be a really important year for the Russians because it was the 40th anniversary of the October Revolution, which was when they overthrew the Romanovs and started the Communist Party.
Right.
So he was like, all right, October Revolution, 1957, October's only a couple of months away, lads. What if for the 40th anniversary, we sent, wait for it, a dog into space?
Oh my God, this just sounds like a weird, like, memorial concert, but
it's weird.
Dog.
It's like a weird Cards Against Humanity for running the Russian government.
Yeah.
It's like a dog into space.
What type of dog was he or she?
Lads, this is where it gets really hard for me, and I'm really sorry in advance. I've never cried on the podcast. I've come close a few times, but it could come today.
Right?
Oh no.
She looks a lot like my dog.
Oh.
So much so. I mean, if any of you follow me or Dumb Women on Instagram, you might have seen my dog, Sylvie. She's a little Jack Russell Terrier. I'm about to show you guys a picture of Laika. Tell me this is not Sylv.
Oh my God, it's actually her.
Oh my God.
I can
confirm that Sylv is the reincarnation of...
Look, lads. Look at her. Oh my God. So, me and my boyfriend the other day, we were lying in bed. It was like Sunday morning. The dog was like literally asleep on my tummy. It was like a picture of domestic bliss.
Yeah.
And we started talking about like, we literally were like, oh, what was the breed of the dog that went into space? And then we Google image and be like, oh my God, it's exactly like Sylv. So then we got into the Wikipedia page, and by the end of the day, in the morning, we were just crying.
Yeah.
So they decided, Khrushchev and his team or whatever, that they were going to send Sputnik 2 up, and it was going to be in time for the October Revolution anniversary thing. And that only gave them a couple of months to prepare. So the satellite was literally designed from like sketches on napkins.
Oh.
So first of all, rushed job.
Oh.
Not a great indication of how things are going to go.
Yeah.
Then...
Well, they are called Russia.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jesus.
I've been avoiding loads of dog puns, so let me have that.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. I support you. and so one of the head scientists on the job decided, like, you know what's great? We'll take a stray dog. There's so many stray dogs in Moscow. The fact that they're surviving in these freezing temperatures and managing to feed themselves must be like an indicative of how strong they are. So we'll, and also it's kind of good propaganda, right? Like a dog literally taken from the streets of Moscow.
Yeah,
he was like a little scamp, and look at him now.
Yeah, totally. And it's like very much the Russian spirit, isn't it?
Like anybody can. For dogs.
Totally, yeah. But it's like it's so communist, isn't it? It's like even the lowliest worker can be ascended to the highest.
Yeah,
thing.
Yes, this is true.
Like even the lowliest dog, and so they said that she was a husky in all of the things because I think it's a dog that people associate with Russia, but actually she was a terrier.
Aww.
Just like my dog. And her name was Laika. They picked three dogs off the street and they eventually went with Laika because she was the nicest one.
Oh, don't send the nice one. Send the bitey one.
Send the bitey one. Yeah, she was really easy to train. She was like, everybody who worked on the team was absolutely in love with her. She was just like the epitome of just a good dog.
Oh, did she have to like push any buttons or anything?
She had to be trained to like eat a special kind of gel because obviously you can't send her up with bloody pedigree chum. So she was just trained to eat this gel. She was trained to like stay still within a very confined space. She was trained to all kinds of things, and apparently she was just a joy to work with, and everyone loved her. And it became very, very clear that this thing that they had designed would never come back.
Oh, so they knew that before they sent her.
They knew that before they sent her, and the head scientist who was working on this the night before the mission, he smuggled her out of the facility. He brought her home so that she could play with his kids for one night. She could have like one night as a normal domestic pet.
Where is this film?
I know, guys. She had one night playing with his kids. And then they went back to the facility the next day. They strapped her in to her little shuttle that wasn't even big enough for her to turn around in.
Oh.
And he kissed her on the nose.
Oh.
And just put the visor down. And launched the dog into space.
Oh.
And they said apparently it was, I mean, like, guys, this is Russia in the 50s. Like, the fucking show trials are happening. Millions of people are being sent to gulags and being killed and stuff. Generations of families are being wiped out. It is a tough time to be alive in Russia. People's sympathies are not high for like random dogs. But like, apparently the entire team were just destroyed by this because they all knew she wouldn't survive.
Mm. Oh.
And so they sent her up into space. She survived for 6 hours.
How
six,
did they know that?
She had... Like, because they had monitors on her, they'd strap monitors to her.
Oh, okay.
She was given enough food for 8 days, but because how badly the thing was, Sputnik 2 was constructed, she just overheated and basically cooked alive
in this thing. Oh my god!
Apparently, after like 2 hours, she did start eating her gel. Oh. So she was just like, "My friends will be back soon. I'll just eat my gel."
Oh, I'll just sit in this hot car and eat my gel.
Yeah, but I think she died. She orbited the Earth as a dead dog in space.
Oh, and is she still there?
I can't remember. I think maybe it just crash landed at some point. I'm not sure.
How has Babe been made, which was great, and not...
Because there's not a happy ending here.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Russian propaganda at the time said that she was alive for several days, and she was heralded, she was on stamps, she was heralded as like this Russian hero who had like given up everything and the symbol of like what their movement was.
Oh my God, she's the Evita of dogs.
She is the Evita of dogs. She's Eva Peron. and the scientist, the head scientist who took her home to his kids years later, on like basically on his deathbed, he said, "We did not learn enough scientifically to justify the death of this dog."
Oh.
Like, this was just something, a press mission,
this
really.
This was just a showpiece.
It was just
a
PR thing, and a lovely dog died.
Oh. Imagine, like, her friends on the street, though. They'd be like, "Oh, God, Laika was in space. She's in space now." Yeah. They'll never know. Let's take solace in that. They'll think that she went on to be a Russian...
And they're all dead now, too, because
it
was the 50s.
They are, They probably froze to death.
Then, a few years later, they launched Sputnik 3, and they sent more dogs up, and the dogs came back.
Oh, good.
So, there you go.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
That is something.
God, what a lovely slash awful story.
It is an awful story. And it would be such a wonderful like Pixar film, but you just couldn't get that ending on.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way of dressing that up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having said that, one of my favourite cartoons is Anastasia, and that's the grimmest film.
Yeah.
The grimmest sort of like premise ever. So maybe they can do it. I don't know.
Well, Pixar, if you're listening, and I'm sure they are.
I bet you this has been like... it's probably gone into development
several
times.
Yeah, this has probably been floated like a few times.
Yeah, it's too beautiful a story not to, but just like...
Maybe they'll change the ending, so the classic kind of American way, they'll be like, "Nah, she came back."
She's
still
been living and hiding ever since.
Yes.
The Amelia Earhart of dogs.
Yeah.
But like, guys, I just want you to imagine what it was like for me. Hungover, Sunday morning, dog's asleep in my bed, looks exactly like the dog in space, hearing about the death of this dog.
Oh my God.
Literally, we were just holding her and crying. It was very pure.
I can imagine.
Does Sylvie know she's not going to go to space?
I don't know if she does. I feel like all of the dogs that look like Laika share a common destiny. Maybe she will go to space. Who knows?
Let's hope she doesn't.
She stays on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope she comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. She's very ambitious that way. I taught her how to do a puzzle the other day, lads.
It's very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She could go into space. We're taking her into space. And now it's time for our occasional segment, Women with Dough. Women with Dough. Where we talk about a financial issue every week.
Guys, I'm really sorry. I have to interrupt our regular scheduling with some very tragic news.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Is Richard from Friends problematic now?
Did someone tell my last Bumble date that I'm not actually allergic to skin?
No, guys. It's something a little bit closer to home. I'm afraid our close friend, Alex, your close friend in particular.
Yeah.
Richard Danu of the Woman with Dough segment will not be attending today's mixer.
Is he okay?
Oh, that's...
Because of his recent death.
What?
Oh my God.
Yes, Richard is dead now. We won't be hearing from Richard anymore.
Do we know why?
Well, I just got this telegram before we started recording from his personal secretary, Angela. And Hannah, I'm just too upset to read it. Can you please do the honours?
Who the fuck is Angela?
He never told me about Angela. Okay, hang on. Richard Danu was killed jumping between train carriages atop the Orient Express. Stop. He is believed to have been fleeing the TV license people. Stop. His body was found in the Siberian wilderness with 3 throwing stars in his left arm and a sachet of super noodle curry flavouring in his breast pocket. Stop.
Oh my god!
I gave him that.
Sounds like an expensive telegram. It was very long.
It was our farewell gift.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Alex. I know you and Richard were close.
He was a lion of a man, Caroline. A lion. And I heard him roar.
Luckily, though, we've learned enough about money from Richard so that we can still host our regular Women with Dough sessions.
Oh, fine. Carry on.
So, you know, this is very on point because this week we're doing how to split up your inheritance fairly.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
So, yeah, Richard's assets have unfortunately, and according only to his secretary, Angela, have been blasted into space. And we're not receiving anything from his estate.
He did always say that as per his wishes.
Yes.
He
yeah.
didn't want anyone to profit from anything that he'd ever stolen. Sorry, made.
I thought given your short marriage to him in 2005, he would have left you a small token. But no, nothing.
No.
So I thought it would be a good chance for us to talk a little bit about inheritance. What do we do with it? Are we getting any? Who knows?
I don't think so. I got a very, very small amount a couple of years ago. And I did the adult thing, which was spaff it up the wall on a 4-month midlife crisis trip, which I thought was all right at best.
So inheritance is a weird subject to talk about, isn't it? Because no matter what way you talk about it, someone has died.
Yeah.
Isn't it so weird? Yeah, yeah. It's so weird that everybody I know who has a house has it because someone died.
Yes.
And like, what's very weird, so my grandfather died earlier this year, which was very sad, and we were very close and I loved him very much. But also, apparently the grandchildren are receiving some kind of segment of the sale of his house.
Okay.
Like, how do you talk about that tastefully? Like, how do I look at my sister, who's got two children, and be like, I deserve the same amount of money as you?
But I guess you got to sort of think in the future you might have two children as well and kind of do it that way. But yeah, no, I know
I don't
you mean.
Think anyone would grow in me.
Gavin does.
Hey!
Hey, boner joke.
Boner joke.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But then at the same time, your sister and might be totally comfortable and you might not be. It doesn't matter about kids or whatever, you know? I mean, how much do kids really need? They need Angel Delight and a uniform.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They cost approximately £12.50 a year.
Yeah, yeah. Save up for an iPad. Give it to them for Christmas.
Don't see them again for 10 years. Yeah,
yeah, fantastic. There's also something very controversial in the UK called the inheritance tax, which means that if someone has left you over £325,000, it gets taxed 40%.
That's loads,
yeah,
isn't
it's bullshit.
It?
Yeah, yeah. So
you're giving like around 150-ish thousand pounds to le gouvernement.
Yeah, oui.
Yeah,
well,
oui.
I think the traditionally liberal stance is that that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
no one's left me any money of that amount yet, so maybe I would feel differently.
Well, this is the point that my dad made, who is also very liberal, but he is really against inheritance tax, and he's managed to persuade me because if, let's say your granddad had £325,000 to give you, right? He has already paid tax on that money.
Oh, true.
Oh, yeah.
So why should you be...
Double
taxed on it. Not double taxed like an extra 10%, 40%.
Yeah. Mm. I think I would be much more comfortable with inheritance tax if there were other ways in which people could afford homes.
Yes.
Well, it's one of those things that you know there's people that get around it.
Yeah.
And they get around it because they've got loads of money to do so.
Well, I can't wait. My favourite thing about looking forward to dying is leaving a very complicated will with lots of caveats and not that many payouts.
Yeah.
Except if this person insists that they are Hufflepuff on their Twitter bio.
Yes.
For
more than 2 years, then they cannot inherit the gold chain.
You will get nothing of the Haddo estate.
I used to be obsessive about making my will when I was a kid. I used to like rewrite it every few weeks.
That is weird.
Oh, have you got a will?
I mean, if the one that I hid in the coal shed when I was 7 is still valid, I guess.
Sure.
But I would because I was also learning percentages at the same time, so I would divvy up the percentages depending on which of my siblings I preferred that week.
What would you leave to who in your will?
Oh.
And remember, this is legally binding.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Laika the space dog, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'd build a monument to her memory and I'd ask you guys to tend to it throughout your natural born lives.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would leave you both my little black book so that when Gavin and Haran die, you can feel close to me.
Hannah
by
doesn't
shagging...
say her boyfriend's name on the podcast, Alex.
Oh, sorry.
That's verboten. So you're out of her will now.
So that when Gavin and Hannah's mysterious anonymous boyfriend die, you can feel... Well, when I die, you can feel closer to me by sharing a peen.
That's nice. Mm. I think I'll leave my estate to dumb women, and it can only be spent on sponsoring ads on Twitter and Facebook that everyone on the internet will hear about our podcast, and then we'll have to be sad because I died and we can't do it anymore.
Very good.
It's going to be so good for publicity when you die.
I know. Or hire a celebrity to take my place.
Ooh, which one? Patrick
Danny
Stewart?
DeVito. Oh.
Either or.
Good. I'm glad that we all know what we're doing with our wills, guys.
Great. Well, R.I.P. Richard Danu.
R.I.P. like a space dog. Big week for death.
Yeah. R.I.P. all of us at some point.
Yes.
No one's getting out alive, guys.
No.
Hannah, you're world weary and yet still relentlessly plugging endless episodes of The Simpsons to us. What's going on?
Yes, this week, Caroline, I've become a continuity announcer. Do you guys know what that is?
No, not at all.
I'm assuming it's that person that's like, and now on BBC One.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's the person who appears on TV or the radio in between programmes to just tell you what you've been listening to or watching and what's coming up next. And yeah, they're called continuity announcers.
Are they real people?
They are real people, yeah. And basically I decided to do this because I was watching TV the other day and someone tripped on their words and got something wrong and I was like, oh, for God's sake, like, why don't they just re-record it? It would have taken 10 seconds.
I always think that's really stupid.
Yeah. Turns out a lot of them are live.
Why is
really?
That?
Really? Yeah. I never would have assumed that there's someone sitting there buzzing in between the programmes and being like, and that was episode 5 of The Simpsons and next up we have Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh my God.
Oh, flashback.
Malcolm in the Middle.
That's deeply
that must
lost
have been like rare, I was going to say. But that's the only reason why I used to think they must be live, because sometimes they would muck up.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently on the big kind of UK channels, so like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think as well. A lot of the time, their continuity announcers are live.
Just is because that because it's like if the football overruns, it might not be The Simpsons followed by whatever.
Yeah, partly. Yeah, it's because they have to be able to respond to stuff like if the football overruns, if someone dies and they have to put a different program on.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a really cool interview with an announcer called Claire Gibb in The Guardian. She does the continuity for BBC One and BBC Two. And she says, we do it live because a million things can happen. If anything goes wrong, you need to be on it. You need to make sure that somebody is there to apologise and take the lead about whether you're going to come back to that programme or switch to another programme. And then she goes on to say, when I was at Film 4, Heath Ledger died. Remember that? And it meant we couldn't introduce the film he was in the usual way. So we had to instead turn it into a tribute to him.
Wow.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? Because you can't be like, oh, and now that handsome man, Heath Ledger, God, he's lively, isn't he? And
like, definitely alive.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah, no, it kind of makes sense. And she said as well, which is quite sweet, she said it's almost like you're the warm-up guy for the other acts, like you're a part of everyone else's excitement, which is quite sweet because I suppose, yeah, if you were sitting in a studio and you were like, oh, this is going to go out in 2 weeks' time, you wouldn't have a sense of anyone actually watching, whereas when you're doing it live, I don't know, maybe you could like look on Twitter and see that everyone's kind of talking about Babe the Sheep Pig that's just been on or whatever, which kind of makes sense.
How do you get that job, though? Is it just like you've got a nice voice? Are you a voiceover person, basically?
Sort of, yeah. But also, the continuity announcers that do it live, and probably some of the other ones that pre-record it as well, they have to write their own links. Because I would have assumed that there was somebody in the back end of the studio somewhere writing the links. But no, the person who says it writes it most of the time.
I loved it when like the BBC, probably about, 15 years ago, was like, oh shit, we should probably have some different accents on here.
Yeah.
So everybody was like, and now on BBC Two, Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, shooting stars.
Yeah. Well, I used to always love back home when it's like, oh, you'd have a really American show like The Simpsons or something, and then the announcer would come on and be like, and that was Bart, Lisa, Simpsons, Marge. Sure, isn't Marge having a dreadful time with Homer tonight?
Do you reckon like the continuity announcers on like ITVB are like, and now on ITVB, Love Island. And if you want to use my sponsored code to get 30% off some lashes, it's hashtag.
Yeah,
Claire
you could
Gibb.
Totally do some sort of subliminal messaging in there.
Yeah, that's
you?
What I was thinking. Like,
Alex, I think you'd be really good at that job, actually.
Do you think?
You could, yeah. Because you've got like, you've got a very smooth voice, but it's also common enough for the...
Oh, thanks, man.
And it's quite clear as well. But maybe we'll test that out later.
Oh.
Some more continuity and answer facts. Obviously, they have to do the admin stuff, like saying, oh, there's flashing images in this program, or there's strong language.
Oh,
and viewer discretion is advised. They have to watch all the programs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Not necessarily kind of
job.
All of them, but they have to definitely be aware and kind of know what's happening, know what's on. They have to be ready, like we said, to react if the transmission breaks down. They have to stay on brand. So whatever kind of voice the channel has, they have to, like, you know, be like, hey, I'm Channel 4 and I'm really cool. Saturday morning. And they're like, it's kind of a marketing job. Like, they're selling the programs, aren't they? They're like, oh, we can't miss this.
Yeah. So, and now Will and Simon are up to some no good in the in-betweeners.
God, you are good at this.
You are very good at this.
Wow. In the early days, continuity announcers on TV used to be filmed as well as having their voices recorded. So there were literally people who just appeared on screen between programmes. This is some information from Wikipedia. And just kind of as linking material between programmes. And apparently the early announcers became celebrities in their own right and would get fan mail.
Oh,
which is nice because actually, yeah, you're seeing all these different people in these different programs, but then you're seeing one person consistently, or like, I don't know, there'd be a rotation, right? So let's say five people, you see them consistently, you watch them, like, I don't know, you watch TV every Wednesday night, and every Wednesday night John is on, and you're like, oh, it's John, he's so handsome.
That's a bit like a German friend I have told me that in Germany, overdub artists, because there's only three or four of them for like films or whatever, they'll develop their own fan bases. So you wouldn't necessarily care about whether you were seeing a Bruce Willis film or a Leonardo DiCaprio film, but like, oh, it's Hans Schmoon. Hans Schmoon is overdubbing this. I love his voice.
Yeah. You
know? Oh my God, I fancy Hans Schmoon.
I found a couple of mistakes. I searched the worst mistakes continuity announcers have made, and there were two that were just so bad that they kept coming up and nothing else was basically in the Google results.
Go on.
So the first one, in 2016, an ITV continuity announcer got the programme wrong and introduced the ITV drama The Level, but said it was BBC Two's The Fall. I don't know what these programmes
are. Not even the
are.
Same channel. I thought you were going to say, like, he said something racist or something.
Yeah, no.
The biggest drama that's ever happened in this profession, because they're doing okay.
Yeah. I know, it's not so bad, is it? The other big mistake of a continuity announcer was someone talking over the end of a programme which was still on, and it was ITV again, and it was This Morning, and it was 2016, so maybe it was the same
guy. Bad year.
It
was Brexit. People were distracted.
And like Holly and Phil were still talking, and then a guy's voice kind of chimed in and was like practicing, and he was like, "Loose Women coming up this Tuesday lunchtime."
That's so interesting.
And then apparently he says to like whoever is in the studio, "You've got my light on there, haven't you?" And then presumably it kind of comes off. But yeah, it's quite funny and quite like grounding to know that there's just people there watching over your TV set.
That's so nice. One of my earliest ever memories is being in the car with my dad. I was about five and we were listening to the radio, and we just heard this woman scream suddenly and then a chair fall over. And she was like, "Oh, I'm very sorry. A mouse just ran across my desk."
And
I think about that all the time.
They're real.
Yeah.
A mouse turned my mic on. Okay, so I have a game now, guys. Mm-hmm. I feel like, Alex, you're going to be very good at this.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some situations, and you're going to tell me how you would continuity announce it. And this is the test.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I made it
badly.
Up, so it's not.
You know,
you've
got a lovely Irish accent, which can't go wrong.
I know, but I'll just tell a long anecdote about the Dixie Chicks for no reason.
This is true. Okay, so Caroline, you're on Channel 4. Mm-hmm. You've just had 6 episodes of the new series.
Just hang on, I have to get in the mood first.
Yeah.
Let me just straighten the spine.
Cool.
Oh, you've got
nervous.
Forget
cool.
I'm from a colony. Okay, let's go.
Okay, you've just had 6 episodes of the new series of The Simpsons, and you have 8 more episodes to go. It's Sunday. You've been watching all of them. How do we go into this?
So, if you're just joining us, we're halfway through our Simpsons marathon of the day. No, the episodes aren't as good as you remember when you were a kid, but they're familiar and yellow and you're probably spaced out anyway. Let's face it, we all are. Coming up, Homer has a problem.
I thought that was really good.
Okay, Alex, one for you now.
Nervous now.
Someone found a dead body in the attic on Homes Under the Hammer, and now it's time for Songs of Praise in Corby.
Her one's way more exciting than my one.
Well, I bet David Dickinson wasn't expecting that. And now we transfer over to my hometown of Corby for a lot of other old people who aren't dead yet, but are very close. It's Songs of Praise.
That is great. You've won that one. That but in fairness, beautiful. You got the
no,
funnier
I thought
one.
Yours was good. Have we got one more each?
I've got one more each. Yes. Okay. So you have okay. a chance to redeem yourself.
Okay.
Round one to Alex, though. I think we're all agreed.
Okay, Caroline, here's your one. A documentary about Harvey Weinstein and hashtag Me Too has just finished. And now you're introducing season 13 of The Handmaid's Tale.
Season 13. Women are really still miserable. Okay. What a searing documentary about a man who, let's face it, looks like a testicle kicked across a barbershop floor. Coming up, an indication of how far we truly have come as a race. Since the allegations of 2017, it's The Handmaid's Tale.
That was your finest work.
Okay, Alex, okay. This is the last one. And this is quite specific to you.
Okay.
Okay. Cliff Richard has been found dead. And you are introducing a tribute programme to the life of Mr. Cliff Richard.
Okay. Oh, God.
Ooh, heavy.
Okay. And now on BBC One, we're very much never going on a summer holiday ever again. For those of you just tuning in, Sir Cliff Richard has been found dead in the swimming pool of Sue Barker's home after a fondue party. We now introduce Rylan talking us through his life in song.
Wow.
An audience with Rylan, colon, Cliff Richard.
Oh my God. BBC, if it's gotten all a bit too expensive for you over there, we've got very cheap talent sitting right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Her name is Alexandra Hallow. She's not doing anything of note. She can be torn away from any project.
Genuinely. I feel like this is my calling.
Yeah, very, very good. Very proud of you, hon.
Sue Barker, to be fair, I wouldn't blame the woman.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So guys, I've got a bit of a confession today in that I didn't actually have time to research my segment because I was obviously researching about how to reduce my plastic intake.
Oh, of course, which, as ever.
As you know.
Very on brand for you,
is,
agree.
Yes, but I have managed to magic up a human woman to come in to the studio, pretend you've only just seen her.
Oh my God, she's hovering down from a cloud.
She is, and she's here to talk to us about a sexy subject. It's author, writer and general sex bomb. Daisy Buchanan, hello.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan.
Daisy, you're here to tell us about one of your favourite topics. It's some Swedish swingers who still wanted another man after midnight. Who are you here to tell us about?
Ooh, I like what you did there. I'm here to tell you about ABBA and my consuming love.
My first question for everyone about ABBA is how old were they when they realised that ABBA is both their initials and a rhyming scheme?
I think that's
so
why
a palindrome.
It's so good, isn't it?
That's why they were That's why they were called ABBA, wasn't it?
I know, but it took me a long time to realise
it. Oh, you know, this is one of my few smart facts for you, that they had to clear it when they decided on the name, because for a long time, this is the patriarchy for you, when the group was formed, I think they were just called either Bjorn and Benny, or Benny and Bjorn, the girls just sang along. And they were trying lots of different names, nothing really worked, until they were like, hey, our initials spell ABBA, which isn't a word, but it could be, it will be. But there is a Swedish cannery who, I believe, make tuna. Well, they make the tuna and vegetables and such, but they put it in the cans. And they had to go and ask their permission if they'd be allowed to be called ABBA. And they sort of said, oh, yes, of course, just don't bring our brand into disrepute.
Oh, the cannery is called ABBA.
Mm.
Oh, so ABBA cans.
I think in Sweden you still can buy ABBA tuna or ABBA lentils.
Oh my God, amazing.
Oh my God, my pun brain is going into overdrive. No, I haven't got anything yet. It'll come.
It'll come, yeah.
It'll come.
It's booting up. Yeah. Those dial-up noises are starting.
Yeah. I hope they weren't out of tune.
Hey!
I don't think you can do better than that.
Thank you so much. So Daisy, what is ABBA?
ABBA were, and now what? They're a pop group, very, very famous in the 70s and 80s. They became super famous in this country in... I'm having a panic now. I believe it was 1974.
Don't worry, you can play it fast and loose with the
facts. Possibly 1974. Yeah. When they won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Ah. I keep forgetting that's how they started. And
that was in Brighton. So I think that here in the UK, we've always had quite an affinity with ABBA and love them. I discovered them when I was, I think, 3 or 4 at the oldest, because I remember the house that we used to live in. My dad had like the scary, enormous family stereo. It's probably like a vinyl thing with enormous speakers and a...
That you're not allowed to touch.
You're not allowed to touch. Obviously, the cabinet that it was housed in was made of raffia, which is possibly the most 80s thing I've ever heard of in my life. It was like a raffia wicker combo. Ooh,
yeah, I was about to say,
I can
wicker,
really feel it. Like, I'm really there.
You know,
really
shut your eyes room. And you can see a yucca plant and Paul Simon crooning.
Yeah.
but we listened to Voulez-vous. It's such a sort of a mad, sexy song. And even when I was 4, I was like, oh my God, what is this world?
Yeah.
The beat of it and this idea. And even though I didn't really know what I knew, I could sort of imagine, you know, like nightclubs and martinis and cigars.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was going on there, but I just thought, I need more of this in my life.
Yeah.
This is great.
And so, Voulez-vous is like definitely the best song as well.
Do you think so?
Can we just get that out right now?
I always forget about that one as well, but it is one of the best ones.
Yeah, it's not one of my ones. I like the sorrow ABBA much more than I like the party ABBA.
Do you?
I love Winner Takes It All. I love Slipping Through My Fingers.
One of Us is my favourite, although my
One of Us is a tune.
My question about ABBA is, what happened with them personally? Because were they married when they formed the band, or... Were they like pals and then they got together?
They weren't married before they formed the band, but I think that they became romantically involved quite quickly. I would have to check this. I know from a documentary that was on Channel 5 a few weeks ago that Agnetha married her stalker by accident.
What?
When the group disbanded, she really, really struggled to cope with the enormous amount of attention they received, and so she bought a house in the woods.
Yeah, she became a recluse, didn't she, or something?
And so there was this guy who had been watching her and managed to kind of weave himself into her life in a way that made her think, oh, what a coincidence, it's you again, maybe this is a sign from the universe. It was not a sign from the universe.
He's been in his car
watching your house for 3 weeks.
Oh no.
Sounds like a dating story Alex told us recently. Yeah. Actually.
The divorce proceedings are going through now.
Wow, I mean, I have many questions about that, but also Frida, after Bjorn, was married to a crown prince.
What?
I want to say Denmark, but Frida was royal.
That's amazing.
As she should have been.
Quite.
All along, really.
And I feel like everybody, like the other three, I'm not sure what's the other man's name? So there's Bjorn and...
There's Bjorn and Benny. Benny's got the beard.
Yeah,
well,
so...
Well, I don't know what his face is doing now. But...
I feel like the other three were like, yep, okay, ABBA was a thing and we had a lovely time and now it's done. And then I feel like Bjorn's still like...
He's hanging in there, isn't he?
He's still like... And I feel like at ABBA sort of conventions or whatever, he'd be there or like, he's still...
They have reformed actually, haven't they? They've recently reformed to make two new songs.
They're going to be bringing new songs, is it later this year?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm really quite apprehensive
about it. Yeah, I would be as well.
As you can imagine. Also, the second Mamma Mia is coming. I have a terrible confession to make, which is I did not love the first Mamma Mia. I mean, what's not to like? Why didn't I like it?
And
I think it was having to share ABBA that I resented so deeply.
I completely understand that. And also, I think it's a very context-dependent film.
That's definitely true. And it's like one of those films that's kind of so bad that it's good. Like, you have to acknowledge that it's not going to be like a kind of legitimately good film.
Daisy, your book is called How to Be a Grown-Up. It's out in paperback now. It's fantastic and I love it. It's so wise and so funny. And what I'd love to know is what are the different ways in which ABBA helped you to grow up? What were the lessons you imbibed from ABBA?
Oh, that's a really sweet question. I think I learned a lot about love and heartbreak from pop songs and from ABBA. I think that firstly, and this possibly hasn't actually served me as well as I thought it might, because I think that humans in love, and maybe men in love especially, are a lot less complicated than ABBA sometimes made them seem. But this idea that you could, that, you know, love was going to be complicated and painful and artistically beautiful because of that, I think that stayed with me. And I guess they were very beautiful and confident. And I think what was interesting as well, is even though we know they were two couples writing about their relationships, and it's weird. I mean, for example, I think that One of Us was written for Bjorn, for Agneta to sing, which is a bit weird, isn't it?
Very weird.
To make the person who you feel the most hurt by and angry with be the mouthpiece for your emotions.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac did the exact same thing. Yeah, what's that one? Shacking up is all you want to do or something. What's that song again? Go Your Own Way. Yeah, so he wrote that for Stevie Nicks, wasn't it?
Yes, and isn't that the one that Christine McVeigh wrote about someone, but she told the other guy that she wrote it about her dog?
Amazing.
That Fleetwood Mac song, I want to have sex with you, big sexy hound.
Oh, what?
That famous song.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's very strange.
What I think is so interesting about ABBA and Sweden by extension is that, like, Sweden has this weird affinity with, they're really good at making pop music because, like, folk music and, like, musicality is so at the center of their culture. And, like, I went to a Irish-Swedish wedding, and halfway through the ceremony, like, the bride sisters just stood up and began singing in perfect harmony, and it was the most natural thing to them in the world.
They've got life sorted, haven't they? So they're just singing happy disco songs.
Yeah. And, like, my Swedish friend, her brother is a songwriter, and he tried to get into the Eurovision for years. It's so competitive. Every other person in Sweden basically enters. And he had to wait until he had a Bosnian girlfriend to enter it under her name as a Bosnian entry. And then he got to the semi-finals of the Eurovision.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, his final song didn't actually get to the main thing, but yeah.
Well, actually, not everybody in Sweden does like ABBA, do they?
Yeah. Interesting link. Yes, so I have a Swedish friend called Tuva, and she hates ABBA. She really hates them. And
that's quite common.
Tuva.
Yeah, I know. And I remember when I found out this about her, I was just like, hang on, like, I've known you for a couple of months. How did I not know straight away that you don't like ABBA? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I asked her anyway why she doesn't like ABBA. And she sent me a little voice note, and this is what she said.
I mean, I don't hate ABBA. I mean, I would definitely pick ABBA for karaoke or late night drunk silly dancing. But there's something like too happy about them, like too sugary and all smiley faces. It's like all too perfect with two happy couples and stuff. So yeah, that's my Swedish point of view about ABBA. They're too happy. Swedes don't like happy.
I would say that I don't, it's feel like it's like she's not watched the end of the film. They both broke up. And one of the lyrics is one of us is dying.
Yeah, but I absolutely know what she means. It's a very happy atmosphere for a lot of the kind of more dancey songs. Like, if you listen to ABBA Gold, there's very few of the kind of, like,
that's
sad
true.
Bits in there. It's all kind of like about, Dancing Queen, like Mamma Mia.
The Winner Takes It All is one of ABBA's biggest songs, and that is
that's
devastating.
That's true.
But I think that If you're mainly exposed to ABBA at weddings, then you could absolutely, you know, come away being like, yeah, you know, Dancing Queen is hardly...
Yeah, it's like if you only ever listened to the Grease Megamix, you'd think that it was not like a horribly distressing
moment. Yeah. Or for me, I thought Queen was just like Bohemian Rhapsody for ages. Right? So I was like, what is this band?
I remember hearing the first time I heard Killer Queen, I was like, oh, they're awesome. They're not just like a stupid dad band.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe it's also that thing that like there is a lot of ABBA in Sweden generally, and if it's kind of pushed on you too much, then you're a bit like, oh, really? These guys again? So maybe that's kind of what Tufa is like experiencing.
I think everyone has that because it's how people from California feel about the Eagles and it's how I feel about James Joyce.
I thought you were going to say the Corrs.
Or like you too. No, I love the Corrs. Love you too. James Joyce can just shove it up his arse, which he'd love, by the way.
But I do think ABBA make me happy. They really do.
Yeah, I think we should stick with Daisy's point of view, I think.
Mm-hmm. Daisy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about you and your books and your life, how can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter, where I'm at NotRollerGirl. On Instagram, I'm at TheDaisyBee, like a buzzing bee. Oh, yes. Please follow me on Instagram. No one follows me on Instagram. Aww. I'm very thirsty and lonely over there.
I do. You look great.
They're good grams. There's lots of lobsters on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Before I go, I think we should do this in harmony. I've not done this. Chickadita, tell me what's wrong. You're enchained by your own sorrow. In your eyes, there is no hope for tomorrow.
I was amazed.
I thought you were all just going to be like, what are you doing?
You all went with it.
Oh, we're all up for a sing song. Yeah.
I love a sing song, but I couldn't remember.
We've got less guests who haven't sung.
Well, it's nearly the end of the episode, which means it's time for our Smart Lesson. Each week in the Smart Lesson, we try to become better versions of ourselves because we are not good enough and we should always be aspiring for something. Otherwise, what would we spend money on?
Hannah, I'd just like to pick you up there. Was that better versions or better virgins of ourselves? Because if it's the latter, I've got a confession.
Guys, I thought we're all wearing purity rings for a reason. We're all saving ourselves. For each other.
Yes, I have done that.
We're saving up for that three-way dildo. Coffee money was for.
We've got two of the heads. We just need the third.
I know, yeah.
I've got some sticky tape, so we'll save on that.
Oh, there we go.
Anyway, this week is no different because we're going to be learning how to go to a gym class. Oh. Do you guys go to classes? Do you take classes?
I sign up to a £50 for a month yoga thing on different email addresses.
Yep, I also do that. Literally, this new studio is like 10 steps away from my house, so I have no excuse not to go, and I still find excuses not to go.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah.
Thank you.
There's a new studio that's opened up just opposite where I work, and it's so eye-wateringly expensive that every time I go, I'm like, I have to work out the hardest I've ever worked out. So it kind of works in a way.
It's so expensive. That's what I mean. I only do it in stints every now and then where I'd get like a month pass. But other than that, I'm not a gym goer at all.
Anyway, so we've got some tips on how to pick a class to go to. So depending on your personality, obviously you want to do something different.
Sure.
So do you have a hunch you would be into BDSM if you tried it? Why not go to a military-style boot camp in the park and get shouted at?
Yes.
Maybe I would enjoy that.
Yeah. I go to those classes. I don't know about BDSM. Maybe. But
Maybe.
I'm open. But the classes are great. I really like them.
You're a secret kink bag.
I know.
Yeah. Do you know what I think it is? It's because, not like to shade you or anything, but you're quite pernickety and you like everything to be sort of right in a way.
Yes.
Like this podcast. And stuff. And like seriously, if Hannah wasn't the person like telling us how to do things properly, it would just be like recorded into a tin can every week. And so I feel like what you enjoy about that is that like, you're like, oh, I'm not in control because someone much more authoritative than me is in control.
Oh my God, that's so deep and so completely accurate.
Yeah.
Wow, you know me.
I do. How do you feel about planes? Do you love being on a plane?
Yes, because I just tune out.
Exactly. When other people are in control, you're just like, delicious.
Oh, God. Maybe I should try BDSM.
You love it.
Well, There we go.
Okay, next. Are you the person who wants to practice holding in a fart for an hour? Try bar, which is an hour of opening and closing your buttocks.
Mm.
In a room full of very, very attractive women as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of classes like that. I'm going to put bar in the same way as Pilates, yoga, etc. They do attract a certain kind of tiny, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And that if you need to be very okay with yourself. Especially, I mean, I do a lot of yoga and you spend so much time looking at your own feet. And realizing how gross they are.
Mine are so gross. And I always want to like buy somebody a drink that's behind me in a yoga class because they have to look at my fucking horrible feet.
I know. And you just throw on your shitty sort of gym gear or whatever, and everybody else is wearing like an ankle bracelet.
Yes. And
yes.
And they're all wearing stuff that I'm like, you've spent what I would spend on like a nice dress on what you're wearing in this. I'm wearing like a team building t-shirt and some old leggings.
Yeah. Like wearing a t-shirt that was thrown out of a cannon in 2012.
Or bought in a packet from HMV during a clearance sale.
Lastly, do you want to pretend to go to a class, but you're not actually going to go to the class, so you want to make sure nobody ever asks you about it? You should try CrossFit.
Still don't know what that is.
No, me neither. That's the beauty of it. I'm sure I know people who do it, but I've never asked.
There's a CrossFit thing near my house, and one time I saw a group of them tied to a bus pulling it. It's all about like sort of like fitness. You can find like, oh, this broom, why not stick it up your arse? And like tire, drag it across fucking, you know, the entire postcode. It's mad. You definitely want to try some of those ones that are just like two words smashed together, like boxer size.
Yeah.
I was about to say, if you own any sort of Prosecco merch, you want to go to one of those classes that's salsa sizer box.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. People, like, I actually love those ones that are just like something you've never heard of, which is like a form of dance and a form, like rhythmic salsamastics.
Yeah. Ass jumping.
Ass jumping. It's always like one woman, she's like, right, I don't know how to pull this off.
She's like, people have actually turned up.
I know.
I'm going to put on a Sean Paul remix.
Slide Roomba.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
So we've got some tips as well on how to actually behave in the class once you're there. Because obviously, like, you know, it's one thing choosing class, but you have to know what to do when you're there. We mentioned already Lululemon.
Lululemon.
It's French for a lemon.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever it is, like, no other outfits are allowed.
No.
That is the only... If you are a female in her 20s or 30s, you need to wear Lululemon.
I think you're allowed half in the class if you're wearing Sweaty Betty.
Yeah, Sweaty Betty is acceptable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Lululemon is the numero uno. Yeah. I do have to say that if I'm ever in an exercise class with somebody and, you know, at the start of the class... the instructor will go, has anyone got any injuries that they need to let me know about? What I do is whoever puts their hand up and holds up the whole class and they're like, yeah, I hurt my knee last week. And without fail, the instructor will always then say, okay, we'll just take it easy. I mean, that is literally...
Oh my God, you are so right.
So what I'd like to do is I do the whole class, but then afterwards I take them outside and shoot them. Like a dog in the street.
Yeah, no, get them out of the... out of the gene pool, please. There's no other advice that they have.
No. Yeah. Why bother?
My next tip, make sure you sneer at anyone who's still using plastic water bottles.
Yeah,
because actually we're all about reusable water bottles now. And God, you are killing the environment.
Agreed. Mm. We all know that I would love to be sarcastic about this, but it is my number one passion in life. So.
Do you know my favourite thing to do at the end of the class is,
what?
This is again, I only do yoga, so this is the only anecdotes I have. When everyone wipes down their mat at the end and they like swab all their sweat off as if it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is such a bitchy thing to do. I love like when wait till someone's like clean their mat and then I just step on it.
Sweaty.
I know, I just think it's really funny. I don't know, because I just like, it's so dumb. It's like, what is even in those bloody squeezy things?
Yes. Like lemon water, I'm
and like,
sure.
How often is anyone washing those cloths? It's like such, it's like, we're trying to pretend there's any hygiene here.
Yeah.
We're all slamming our bodies into the same bit of rubber.
Yeah. And mats are so absorbent as well. You can see it soak up.
Yeah,
like
you
it's
can.
In there already.
When your hand's a bit wet and you put it down and it's just like, oh, and then it's gone. You're So we're all getting hepatitis off those mats, guys. Just accept it and move on.
Agreed.
Something else to remember, making eye contact or cracking a joke to someone else during an exercise class is basically the same thing as watching someone else take a shit and staring them in the eye. Make sure you don't do that.
Correct. Correct. Oh my God. I've had so many things like that before. Where, do you know how like when you're doing yoga or whatever and they go like, and everyone like turn your heads on the mat, turn your right ear to the mat,
yeah,
and I'll put my wrong ear and I'll suddenly be making eye contact with the whole person.
Oh, yeah. It's so, why is it so bad? Or so if you say like, if you're in a yoga class and you're like, oh, sorry, it feels like you're shouting into a cavern like, yes, I have farted.
Okay, next one. If you have to stop at any point, you've been working too hard, you need a breath, put your hands on your hips and pant like you've been trying harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Which leads me on nicely to the next one, which is if you are a man in a class that is mostly made up of women, you have to make sure you make as much noise as possible.
Oh.
So that everyone in the class knows that you are still a man. Well, we're all much smarter about gym classes now. I'm proud of us.
I've burnt 3 calories.
Well, that's it for another week of, let's face it, complete banality. We hope you're doing a Madonna and dancing around in a gym to a remix of ABBA with a group of mates that you've probably just hired to make you look cool.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please do go and give us an honest review on the Apple Podcast Store. As always, thanks to Gavin Day for our logo, Harry Harris for our jingle, and Soho Radio Studios for our recording space. Good Borg!
Boy!
Can't wait to be Bjorn again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.